Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I thank you for being a part of this life event. And I am so excited you chose to join in today. So let's get this party started. And you know, Mom and Em always said there's some things that you got to do before you invite company into your home. So what we're going to do, first of all, is we're going to take time to anchor ourselves in positive energy and affirmative readings. And so for today, our special message is called Stretch to Success. And remember, these are all a part of my daily inspirational messages that you can sign up to have them delivered directly to your email box every day. It's at revsandy.wordpress.com. And so again, today's message is called Stretch to Success. Go so far beyond your comfort zone today that you touch success. Stretch to those dreams, your dreams. Keep going until it feels very uncomfortable, like it's beginning to hurt. Stretch is the way to get you to where you say you desire to go and be. It's the extra movement that will benefit you in the long haul of success. There is a power that is waiting for you to stretch and touch. God is calling your name and anointing you with success. Are you willing to relinquish that old familiar routine to accomplish your goals today? Okay, then all that is being asked of you is to do that which you have identified as being important to you. Stretch and keep stretching. Success is directly in front of you. You are only a millimeter away. Keep going. Yes, there it is. Now that feels great. You have used those dormant muscles, and you are so excited. You feel a sense of wonder in it all. How could I have waited all this time before realizing my dream? Well, do not concern yourself with the limits you placed on yourself yesterday. This is all done and gone. Today is your day to celebrate. Celebrate your victory of overcoming fear. We're all very proud of you. You acknowledged the agony and did not allow it to stop or hinder you. You welcomed the pain and the stretch and kept going. Yes, we all feel your excitement and your accomplishments. We feel your overwhelming joy. We honor you for your relentless pursuit of your success. Congratulations. You deserve this honor. And again, that is from revsandy.wordpress.com, daily inspirational messages delivered straight to your email address every single day. And the next thing that we do, oh, my God, I felt energy so tremendously while we were touching the earth of the motherland. But we invite and we invoke the spirits and the energies of our ancestors to be with us tonight and always. We treasure their gifts to us. We know that it's through their love and their support and their willingness to do what they did that we stand where we are today. So we humbly give thanks to our ancestors, Ashe, Ashe. It's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Our Sovereign Connection with Africa. And I have invited the group of people that went with me on this sojourn to South Africa. It was some of the most incredible energy and time over in that on that continent. And I know that I couldn't do it all to pay tribute to what we all witnessed and what we all felt and just the beauty of the land and the beauty of the people. So if they're on, I would ask that they join in the discussion. But if not, I'm going to carry it. You know, I got to do what I got to do. But Africa is just such a wonder house. Man, it's glorious. It's beautiful. It's incredible. It's welcoming. It has people of such inner beauty, non-inhibited, and just so willing to share. So anyway, we're going to get to the story. We're going to get to the story, and we're going to talk about it. And, you know, I've been gone from you for like 2 weeks, and I have now just getting back, and I tell you, there's a six-hour difference between the East Coast of the United States and Africa. And so I'm still adjusting to this time frame. So just bear with me. We may be off a little bit in some of the things that we do routinely, but perhaps it's time for that to change too. So, you know, I'm all about just going with the flow. So thank you for being with me tonight. This is Sandy on Life, Love, and Wellness, and we are going to rock with talking about the motherland, the birth of all civilization, the continent of Africa. I was fortunate and blessed and honored and invited to be a part of a group that went over to South Africa. We visited several places there. Our first stop was in Johannesburg. And while in Johannesburg, we went to Soweto, and you know the history behind that. And we're going to get deeper into it. I'm just kind of giving you an overview right now. So don't say, oh, you know, you went by that too fast. So, and the next place we went once we left Johannesburg is we went to a national reserve where animals, the big five, where they all roamed free. And on the safaris that we went on, we were able to see the animals, the zebras, the elephants, the rhinos, the hippopotamus, the monkeys. We saw a cheetah, the birds, the deer. Just, it was wonderful, just absolutely incredible. It was a little chilly. But we were out there with caps and gloves and blankets and all of like that in order to partake of this, the beauty of this place called Africa. And so, again, we're going to get a little bit further into that. Once we left, we stayed at a wonderful, wonderful place called Buckenbog. And that's a resort in Plannersburg, and it's right there on the national park. And from there, we went back to Johannesburg to catch a flight to go to Cape Town. And Cape Town is spectacular. It has the waterways, the waterfront. It has the ocean. It has incredible mountains. It's full of life and full of energy, and a couple of different traditional African rituals at a couple of restaurants where we went to. Moya was the one that we went to in Johannesburg, and we have the traditional face painting, and the food was just incredible. And I tell you guys now, you know, I've been talking to you for well over a year, almost 2 years now, about the toxins and the things that we have mixed in our food here in America, and have been alerting you to be careful of what you consume. This food was so pure and so delicious. It was like you were eating food for the very first time. It was just incredible. And it reminded me of a farmer that I met here in Atlanta a few months ago. And we were talking about the color of eggs. And so she asked me if I had ever been around a live chicken and seen a live chicken lay eggs. And I was like, sure. You know, as kids, my stepfather made sure that we had that experience. And so she just kind of looked at me, you know, waiting for me to figure out my own answer to what she was asking of me. And then I realized what she was saying about white eggs. When you are exposed to or have the privilege of being around chickens that are free to roam out in the yard, and they're you're carefully monitoring them and feeding them and loving them and taking care of them, the eggs that they lay are not white. They are brown, but they're not white. And before this lady that owns this farm here in Atlanta, before she had brought that to my attention, I really hadn't thought a lot about it. Now, that's a whole nother show within itself. But every egg that we had served to us in Africa, in South Africa, it was a brown egg. So just to share that little bit with you, you know, I didn't see one white egg the whole time I was in South Africa. And again, that's something that's really small, but it's major because the food is pure. It doesn't have the toxins and the chemicals and the carcinogens, and, you know, that's in the ground, that's being grown on the food. And so you ate what was nutritious and what fed your body. And it was just incredible. The food was absolutely delicious. And so we spent the time there in Cape Town, again, partaking of the beautiful sights. And we had an opportunity to go into one of the local communities in District 6, which was destroyed of its original joy in life. And this community that we visited there was called Langa, L-A-N-G-A, and I want to talk a little bit more about that as we get into the call. And then, so from there, you know, we did some more sightseeing and went to places like Table Mountain, which was just the most spectacular, beautiful, gorgeous, breathtaking, just the words, there are not enough words to describe how beautiful this place is. And so that was the treat for Cape Town was where we were. And so I'm going to go back and kind of touch on each one of those places a little bit more. And if there are any people, any of my compadres that was over there in South Africa with me that would like to be a part of the discussion, all you have to do is just push one on your dial. It'll let me know that you want to speak live on air with us. And you can just listen in or you can join in. It's all good either way that you decide to do that. So we're going to start right now with taking a short break. I was trying to think what would be appropriate for what I experienced over in Africa. So this word, this song actually came up in my spirit, so I want to play it. This helps me to make the connection with Africa, with the motherland, with the birthplace of all civilization. So listen and see if you agree with me.
Mm-hmm. The next time we see each other, maybe years and years from now. Family reunion, got to have a family reunion. Family reunion, it's so nice to come together, get together. I wish Grandma could see the whole family. I sure miss her face and a warm and tender embrace.
Family reunion, the OJs. And you know, the reason why I wanted to play that, because it brings back memories of my grandfather, my dad's father. So my dad is 95, so you can imagine how old his dad would have been. But I would just like to picture in my mind what his face would look like when I would say, Papa Hawk, guess what? I went to Africa. I can only imagine what his expression would be. And so that's why I wanted to play that, because our parents, our foreparents, were not necessarily equipped mentally, financially, emotionally to make that journey to Africa. But, you know, I was in a place too, and so I really count it as an honor to be able to have made that journey. It's my first journey to South Africa, although I have been to West Africa. I've been to Ghana in the past, and it was the same feeling then, you know, to be able to make a return visit there. And then the second part of playing that particular song, Family Reunion, is one of the members of the team that went over, of the group that went over, it was 21 of us. His name is D-Tron, and he was celebrating his birthday, and I think he may have been the youngest or one of the youngest individuals that was with us. And so we were at this, fabulous restaurant called Gold Restaurant in Cape Town. They taught us how to play the drums. We was beating on the drums. We was into it. It was so cool. And then from the drums, they brought the different authentic dishes to us, and it was just it was outstanding, just fabulous. And then after dinner, they did like an entertainment part, and so they called people from out of the audience. Now, I'm not sure if one of the other group members, you know, like put their finger over D-Tron's head for them to select him, but they did. And this dance that they were doing was just like on point, man. They were just all into, you know, like you've seen probably on television, the African, how they, you know, just are all into the beat and just, you know, the body is just really banging. And D-Tron was right there, you know, he was just doing it. He was like being at home, you know, like dancing with his boys or something. And that was just another display of how we're all connected. You know, he didn't have to take dance steps or dance classes, but he felt the beat. He felt the people that invited him onto the dance floor. And he had such a tremendous time. We all did, because we were so impressed with how he was unafraid to get up and to partake of the hospitality of the people at Gold Restaurant. So if you ever go to Cape Town, make sure you go to Gold Restaurant. It is a treat that you will treasure forever. So we have a caller. He's been waiting very patiently. So I got you on, Art. Welcome to the call.
Sandy, as usual, another great show. And it's so inspiring. And you really know how to spark it up. That song there, it said it all, because it did the same thing for me. It brought back so many memories. I'm going to be quick, real quick. The place you just visited is actually one of the only continent that actually connects with the core of the earth. Now, so what does that mean, Arson? What's the big deal about that? So why? So what's the deal? All of this land masses we see, all started with volcanoes, spews, eruptions. And Africa was one of those first spews, eruptions. This is not just a deja vu trip that you had. That's why I asked you if you dreamed while you were there, because you were right there on the on the original land, and not only the original land, but the original source of this environment, this world, this species that we call the human race. And on that note, I'll say goodnight, because I want to hear some more. Bye. I'm going to listen. I'm listening, okay? Okay?
Well, thank you. You know, but you really sparked something, because I know I was so intrigued with the land, you know, like the animals when we were on safari, but the landmass and how there was these like red clay mountains that just shot up.
Yes.
And then you had all the green coming out of it, you know, and the tour guide, he explained all of that to us. But it was just amazing to me how this land, how it was so carefully sculpted, like you're saying, you know, and from a volcano ash, it was spectacular to me. So I enjoyed all those little pieces of it, you know, the animals were, you know, like, If you look through the pictures, if you're on the call and not on the computer, you can go back either on my Facebook page or pull this up after the show, and you'll see some of the pictures where the animals just look like they stopped and posed for the camera. You know, they were really cool. I really, really thoroughly enjoyed the whole part of it. And so I appreciate Art for his addition to the call and for reminding me of what that connection was truly all about. And it is, you could feel the energy of life. The air quality was pure, and it was like there was no barrier. And you really didn't appreciate it. I think I did. Now, let me speak for me. I didn't thoroughly appreciate all the fineness, the intricacies of the continent of Africa until I returned home. And so what that looked like for me was that the air was pure there. And again, I was telling you about the food. The food tasted better. You didn't need to put any type of seasoning on it because it was already seasoned just from its own natural sources. The fruit was, man, it was juicy. It was different. I ate some fruits that I had never eaten before. But, you know, it for me, it put me in the position that I wanted to experience all of this that I had not experienced before. And again, I had been to Ghana back in 2004, so it was not my very first time on the continent of Africa. But I tell you, if you've not gone, make it be one of those things that you do before you transition from this life. You need to go back to the place of where life began. And that will be enough. You will understand, feel, and you will appreciate what I'm saying when you get there. And there's no words to help you to appreciate or to experience it even more than that, because it's spiritual. And anything that's spiritual, there's no human word for it. You feel it, you're a part of it, and you appreciate it at such a deep, deep soul level. And that's what it was. You know, that's what Africa is, because that's our home. That's where we all began. All humanity, as Art was saying earlier, all civilization started on that continent of Africa. And there's been documentation, there's been research, there's been all type of programs that have gone back to be able to explain the beginning of human life and to chart out how the characteristics of the human changed as the humans traveled away from Africa and in going north, how the skin color changed and the facial features changed. It changed to accommodate the particular characteristics of the land that the people settled in. So I'm not going to get into a whole big history lesson on that, but Africa, without doubt, is where we all come from, all of us. And so, I tell you, sometimes I'm still sitting in a place of just absolute love and appreciation for being able to go. And so I want to give a quick shout out to the two individuals that arranged this tour over there. Arnold Scott, called AJ, he and I worked together at Hillside Truth and Center back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I remember in one of our conversations, Arnold told me that he wanted to own his own tour company. And, you know, me, I'm like, yeah, you know, let me know when you do it. And so this was his first attempt at putting something together for a larger group. And he did such an outstanding job. If you're interested, I'm going to tell you, I've got me a new email, and it's lifelovewellness@gmail.com. Send me your information if you would like to be in contact with him. And then his partner or his cohort in this was Muriel. And Muriel has her own travel agency, MGM Travel. And the two of them put this thing, I mean, they jam-packed it with so much. And there was a point where we all had to split up in order to see and to witness everything that was there. And so give yourself enough time and be prepared to just sit and soak it all in. Africa, the continent, is just absolutely amazing. I like I said, the words are not enough to describe the experience that you'll have over there. And so, you know, in knowing that you're going over to the land that birthed all of humanity, for me, I went in a spiritual place, not for any other reason than in taking that back or in sitting in that energy. It was like, wow, you know, how many people get a chance to do this? How many individuals would even consider the possibility or that this opportunity exists for you to go back to where all of life started? And for me, it was just so mind-blowing for me. And so I went on in a very spiritual frame of reference, and I believe that made me more conscientious and connected to, like, the earth, you know, like seeing the earth and how these trees grew out the sides of these mountains that was a part of the Pilanesberg National Park, where, you know, the animals just roam free, and we were able just to, you know, to, like, drive through their residence, so to speak. And so for me, I mean, I had to bring, and this may be this may be forbidden and breaking some laws or whatever, but I brought back dirt from the motherland so that I'm always connected. You know, dirt from Soweto, from Pilanesberg, and I brought sand home from Cape Town. The beach was spectacular. Oh, my God. I've never seen water that clear before. You know, we're told about the Caribbean islands and how fresh and clear the waters are. But I tell you, I've been there before, but they pale in comparison to the water on the coast of, it's called Camps Bay Beach in Cape Town, and I had to put my feet in the water, man. It was just, it was cold, you know. I mean, it was cold, but we got off the tour bus, and I started taking off coats and gloves, and I'm like, I got to get in this water, man. I got to let my feet hit this water, and I did that. Oh, my God, what an experience. Oh, I tell you, what an experience. I'm going to just say it like that. Just beautiful, beautiful. Some of the things, though, like I said, I wanted to talk to you about what I fell in love with. And so that's what I fell in love with, the land, the formation of the earth, the Pilanesberg National Park, and the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful animals that were all there. We saw monkeys, we saw giraffes. I know I didn't name everybody, but it was monkeys, it was giraffes, there was hippos, there were rhinos, there was a cheetah. Just beautiful, just absolutely gorgeous. And so then the next thing I said in this write-up in describing tonight's show is what I had difficulties in accepting. And so what I actually thought was just one of my little quirks, I was looking at or listening to the tour guide as he took us from Johannesburg to Pilanesberg to the national park, and to go on the safaris where, you know, we're looking at the animals. And as we're driving along the road, the highway, the byway, whatever you want to call it, you know, he was explaining to us the properties of the land that we were traveling on. And he was talking about how rich the land was, and that particular area where we were traveling was where that 2-carat diamond was found, and how this land is the richest in the world with all of these different gems and minerals. You've got chromium, you've got gold, you've got diamonds, you've got zinc, you've got everything but oil. And they're the mines where they're mining this is just along this road continuously as we're going. You know, it was about a two and a half hour drive from Johannesburg to Pilanesberg to the national park. And so he's describing this, you know, and we when we see these mines on both sides of the road, but he said it was the poorest population on the continent of Africa. And that just was mind-boggling for me. So how do you have the richest soil, the richest earth with all of these minerals, with all of these gems, but the people are poor? And that didn't quite sit with me. And so that was one of those things that I had difficulties in accepting. I mean, it's their reality, but I'm just sitting in a place where, you know, how can this be, and how does that happen? And so then I start making the comparisons to what the people in South Africa, the similarities to the people in the United States and in the southern part of the United States. And I know even right here in Georgia, not even, but here in the state of Georgia, there were Native Americans when people landed here from other places. They were not the original inhabitants, but they landed here from someplace. And when they found the jewels and the gems and the earth here in Georgia, that they brutalized and terrorized the natural inhabitants of Georgia, and they ran them out the state, or they marched them out the state. And so many Indians or Native Americans died in that movement to capitalize and to seize this land in Georgia, that there's been a lot that have been documented by that, and it's called the Trail of Tears. And it says, folklore says that the soil is so red in Georgia. It's from all the bloodshed that happened as the Native people that were on this land were driven out of their homelands. And so, You know, I started making the comparison between the two, and there's so many similarities between what has happened here on the shores of North America as it does, as it has happened over on the continent of Africa. So, you know, just making comparisons and just trying to figure it all out. But these are things that were not taught in history, or at least it wasn't taught when in my history classes. And so, you know, it just brings up a whole new appreciation for life. And again, the similarities between perhaps what some would call the uneducated or the less fortunate people that live on the continent of Africa, as opposed to those, you know, here in the affluent America. But anyway, that's a little side note. But that was just a part of the, you know, the big question mark over my head is like, how can that be? And so I'm asking you to embrace that question with me. You know, so how does that happen? You've got diamonds and all the richest minerals and jewels in the world, but the people are living in corrugated metal buildings. You know, they homes, I should not excuse my language on that, but you know, the four walls are the metal and they have the roof that is made out of the same material, or like it was in Cape Town when we went to Langa, the houses were shipping containers, and so that was what people call their homes. So just, you know, just a picture of what that looks like. For the most part, appreciate what we have here in America. We're always complaining about, you know, we need this and we need that and we need the other in order to be happy or to be satisfied. We're running the race. We're on the treadmill, the Ferris wheel, whatever you call the wheel, you know, where they put the rat on and the rat never gets off because it's trying to, you know, to get past the Joneses and the Smiths and the Browns or whoever. And so we get caught up like that in material things, but, you know, is that really the essence of what life is all about? So, again, I'm just going to leave that question with you guys to work out an answer for yourself. So let me tell you about our visit to Langa and how we got there and the experience of that community. And then I'll come back and share some other things like the Mandela statue in Robben Island where he was housed in prison for all those years. And so we went to Cape Town, and on one of our sightseeing tours, we went to this museum. It was District 6 Museum, and I was to meet one of the originators or the founders of this community, of this museum, and his name is Noor Ibrahim. And he wrote a story about his life in District 6. So District 6 is that part of Cape Town where the native people of the land were, you know, come in and outsiders came in to take over and to cause all this havoc in their lives, and apartheid was born, and so you know that whole story. And so they've erected this museum to put the real history out there for people to be able to understand the truth about how all of this happened and how all of it took place. And so from there, one of the community activists in Langa, her name is Sugar, and she was just an absolute gem. And so she gave us a walking tour over in Langa. So So this is a community much like that we have in all populations across the United States. What would we call it? The lower economic portion of the city. And so Langa, we were there, and they had a community center. It was gorgeous, too. It was made completely of shipping containers. It was so wonderful how they had taken and had some of the cars or the containers decorated differently from one another. And there's a guy that was there that was actually making the dishes, there's a word for that, but he was actually shaping them out of the clay in order for them to be burned in the oven and then made into plates and, you know, painted and that type of deal. And so we had an opportunity to witness him and to go into the actual room where they created the dishware. And from there, we had another drum lesson. Oh, my God, you know, people are so friendly and so hospitable with you and wanting to share everything with you. So from there, we went on into the community of Langa. And Sugar, she explained to us the different artifacts that we found and the reasons behind some of the activities that we witnessed. What caught my eye, there was two women sweeping the street with brooms. They're sweeping the streets to keep the streets clean. So there's not, you know, the big fancy trucks that you have in your metropolitan areas or, you know, some governmental agency that's hired to clean the street. These were local women that were out sweeping the street, and that was just amazing to me. And so we continue with this walking tour of Langa, and the housing development is what I'm choosing to call it, where a majority of the people lived in Langa. The structures were like, it was all cement. So if you can just picture what we call an apartment, a four-bedroom apartment in the projects of the United States. I want to make sure that's clarified. So in the projects of the United States, in a four-bedroom unit. In this place where we went in Langa, there's a community or a communal part, like when you first walk through the door, and to one side there's like a little kitchen area, and on the other side would be like your dining room. But the dining room table and the chairs were made of cement. Right? So they're permanent structures. They're made of cement. And then you have the other part over there where the cooking and all of that goes on. But this is the deal, you guys. In each one of those four bedrooms, there was a whole family. So two or three children and a mother, you know, that's three or four people. Mother and father and two kids, that's four people in a room. And you saw how they had that set up. So it wasn't that you had four bedrooms, a mother, a father, a son, and a daughter, and everybody had their own room with an extra one for guests when they came over. But no, over here, in those four rooms, there were four totally different families. I mean, they could have been all the same family. That's neither here nor there. But in those four rooms, there existed the parents and the children. And that was interesting. I'm going to say that. It was interesting. But they were happy. You know, they didn't seem to be complaining or, you know, having a lot of issues that they wanted to share. One of the, I want to call it surprising facts that was shared with us by Sugar, our tour guide, was that as a group of African Americans or black folks going in to the community like that, the people of the community were surprised because it's usually a lighter complexion people that would take the time to come in and go on a tour and learn about what's happening in the community or just visiting with South Africa in the first place. And so that kind of makes you go, huh. So why is it that African Americans are not going back or not visiting the motherland? Maybe have no desire. I don't know. I don't know what the answers could be to that. But, again, that's another question I'm going to leave with you. And I would also ask you to perhaps think about going back to Africa and visiting with the original people. That's the only way I know how to say it. I'm not trying to make it fancy or anything like that. And so that, you know, when my granddaughter goes there, when she goes to visit, she won't be told the same thing, you know, oh, we're so surprised to see you because we don't get people of a darker complexion that come over and want to know about what's happening over here in South Africa. And so I would just urge you to put that on your bucket list, put that on your to-do list, and start saving toward that and make that a reality for yourself. And so we ended the tour of Langa at a preschool, and these children were absolutely priceless. They were so excited to sing and perform for us, and they're doing such an outstanding job with teaching these children and keeping them creatively involved in life. And so my hat go off to the preschool that's there in the Langa community and the work that they're doing with the babies. Now, we did talk, the group that I went with, we talked about establishing a GoFundMe to collect funds to send back to the community, to the preschool, and just to make our contributions back to that. So I'll keep you posted on that. And again, if you want to contact me, if you have any additional questions or any concerns, my email is lifelovesandwellness@gmail.com. Shoot me an email, and I'll respond back to you. I'll give you, you know, pointers or references or links or whatever you may need in order to answer whatever your concern or question may be. I'm going to take a break, you guys. This has really been such a fabulous time of reliving the vacation, and there's no way that I'm going to cover my trip in this 90 minutes that we normally take. So I'm going to do the best I can to keep you posted or to bring you up to date on what we did while we were there. But let's take a break. Let me take a break. And I'll be back with you to share some more.
Keep on pushing. Keep on pushing. I've got to keep on pushing. Mm-hmm. I can't stop now. Move up a little higher. Cause I've got my strength, and it don't make sense not to keep on pushing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep Now maybe someday I'll reach that higher goal. I know I can make it with just a little bit of soul. 'Cause I've got my strength, and it don't make sense not to keep on pushing. Now look a look, look a look, a look a yonder. What's that I see? A great big stone wall stands there ahead of me. But I've got my pride, and I'm moving all aside and keep on.
Fabulous Impressions, Keep On Pushing. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and I thoroughly appreciate you being with us tonight. We are talking about our sovereign connection with Africa. Just recently returned from South Africa with an amazing group of individuals, and I've invited them to be a part of the show tonight. But I understand, because if it wasn't for the show, I'm not sure if I would be having this conversation myself. It's like when you experience, you just sit in it. You know, there are no words for you in the beginning until it like just trickles all down through your body until you can really become one with what you just experienced. It is incredible to be able to go and put your feet on the original land of the earth, and to have that blessing to be in the presence, to breathe the air that was so clean. The sky was so blue. It was so unlike anything that I've ever seen in my lifetime. Just beautiful, just crystal clear blue. And at night, like the little sparkles, you know, like the childhood song, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, where the stars were actually twinkling in the sky. And, I mean, you just paid attention to all of these things that are either covered up with smog and fog, our pollution, or we simply don't have the mindset to look up and to appreciate all the natural beauty that we've been given in order to live a life of just supreme grace and mercy, that we don't partake of it because we're so busy, busy, busy making a living, so to speak. That's what they tell me anyway. So, welcome. I want to also give you contact information for me. I'm so pleased that I have a new email address that is strictly dedicated to the show, and it's called lifeloveandwellness@gmail.com. And you can always shoot me an email, have any questions, show ideas, want to be a guest, don't like what I said, and, you want to talk about me, whatever you want to do. But we're talking about Africa, the continent of Africa. We're talking about South Africa tonight. So let me tell you another one of those things that I had difficulties in accepting. So, you know, I've told you that my first journey and treasure trip to the continent was in Ghana back in 2004. And so West Africa is more rural than South Africa. South Africa is very much like the United States, pretty much. So let me explain this a little bit, and then it's just so much to tell you, so stick with me. So our first stop, remember I told you, was in Johannesburg. So we got there, and it was late in the evening, and we had been on an airplane like 16 hours, and we spent the time going through airport, you know, getting our luggage, getting transported to the hotel, which was absolutely fabulous, with doormen, with the top hats, you know, and all of like that. You never had to push a button to get to a floor because there was always someone there to help you. It was tremendous. It was tremendous. But that first night that we got there, after getting all of that done, you know, we tired. We'd been on an airplane, seemed like 2 days, but it was only one. It was, well, 16 hours, and we got settled, and we wanted to go out and get something to eat. And so I guess it was one of the bellmen told us, you know, where to go to get out of the hotel. So the particular floor we were on was the fourth floor, and it was the reception area. And so the guy says, okay, go down to the third floor, and then when you come off the elevator, turn left and just keep walking, and you'll see some restaurants, you know. I thought we were going out on the street. So we did what he told us to do, and when I tell you, we ran into one of the most exquisite shopping malls that I've ever seen in my life. Now, I'm from Los Angeles, so, you know, I'm familiar with Beverly Hills and the Miracle Mile, the Wilshire Shopping District, and, you know, Rodale Drive. I'm familiar with all of like that. But this mall was, you like, man, I'm in South Africa. It looked like you were in the United States. You know, all the big name stores, it was just amazing to me that, you know, this type of shopping centers would be there present. I don't know, just, you know, call me whatever, but it really kind of caught me off guard that we had this type of shopping center, especially connected right there to our hotel and everything. So we went on about our business and had a wonderful, wonderful meal at a restaurant. It was not in the mall. It was out on the street. But that was just really a little eye-opener for me, because it was something that totally caught me off guard, because I was not expecting that. I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting that. And but we were at the Nelson Mandela Square, and they have this huge, I mean, I think three or four stories high statue of Nelson Mandela in this square, and that's where a lot of the happenings are, you know, where people come, and there was a car show the weekend that we were there, antique car show, and so you had a lot of people that was there and partaking in that. There were a lot of restaurants in that particular shopping center at the square, at the Nelson Mandela Square. And so in our moving about, you know, of course you're going to get souvenirs because you want to take, you know, gifts back to your family, to your loved ones, to your coworkers, to your neighbors, and, you know, the people that's watching the dog and taking in your mail and all of that. And so we were actually in Soweto on that second day that we were in South Africa, and we went to the Freedom Mall. And so there were a couple of vendors out there. But what caught my eye was that, like, all of these trinkets, they looked alike, you know, like mass-produced, looked just alike. And that wasn't my experience in Ghana. I remember in Ghana that each piece was uniquely designed and made, And so you weren't looking at a carbon copy of the other piece. And so I kept looking and looking, and I was like, what's strange about this? What's really catching my attention with these souvenirs? And so I got closer and happened to pick up a couple of pieces and flipped it over, and it said made in China or made in Taiwan. So I was like, man, so that means that the people that are so gifted with talent are being, being restricted in their creativity because they're selling these items that are mass produced by machines somewhere else. And that was just really something that caught my attention. And I remember sharing this a couple of days ago with, and we were talking about what that really does to a whole race of people, a whole community of people, when you're stripped of your creative abilities, and so you're not using that gift that you have. You're simply allowing somebody else to make something, come and put it in your hand, so they get paid right off the top, and then now you're out, you know, selling these items as the souvenirs of your country. And so for me, I needed things that were originally made in South Africa. I wanted to support South Africa and the residents, the people of South Africa. And it took me a minute to find those items where people had made them themselves, or, you know, they were at least made, like the dishes in Langa at that center where, you know, they were making that themselves. But it was that type of energy that I wanted to experience. But, you know, again, making the comparison back to the States, to North America, to the United States of America, and how many times do we do the same thing? We, for other people, or we put our dreams on hold in order to, quote unquote, make a living, have a career so that you can pay your bills. And that's the reason why you don't pursue your dream, is because, you know, after all, you know, I've got responsibilities, you know, I'm an adult and blah, 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 whatever, you know, the rest of that conversation is. But we're doing the same thing. You know, most of us are doing the same thing in relinquishing our dreams and our goals and our creative genius for the sake of peddling somebody else's wares or somebody else's dream. And they get theirs off the top, remember? They get theirs off the top, and then we get, you know, whatever we can bargain with within our spirit, within our souls. And so there was a lot of comparison for me from what I saw from an observer or an outsider's perspective as I looked at the life of the people that lived in South Africa. And compared it to what we experience here in the United States. And as much as I would like to think that we're so much more advanced and, you know, that's a third world country or, you know, whatever the conditioning and the propaganda would tell us about what, you know, Africa and the other countries, the other continents, what they represent. We have the same we have the same issues. We are delaying, ignoring, our gifts and our talents, our contributions to humanity, by not honoring those gifts that we've been bestowed with. You know, I know a lot of people that are musicians, they're they're writers, they're clothing designers, they're gifted with being able to figure out computers and to be able to put programs for the computer together. And even the children, they can pick up a cell phone or a laptop and, you know, they just push buttons and they get right to where they want to be. But how many are being encouraged to put that work for themselves, to not, you know, to be their own entrepreneur, to honor and to treasure that creativity that they have? Not many, I don't think. I don't know. That's what I'm looking at. So you guys help me out with that. Maybe I'm being very narrow focused on this. And so if that is the case with your circle of influence, the children, the adults, you know, your family members, loved ones, whoever, why don't we start having this conversation about being better, about pursuing or enriching the gifts that we have, just like in that original daily inspirational message that I read earlier, Stretch to Success. Let's get to where we need to be and just honoring the gifts that we have. And I have this vision of where we can all go and where we can, and it would not look like somebody is taking advantage of our gifts or asking us to put our gifts to the side in order for them to capitalize or for us not to realize our dreams. So that may have been a little bit off, but I did want to share that because that I believe in, you know, fair trade and, you know, everybody being represented and like that, but not at the expense of others. And so when you have these items that are made in China and made in Taiwan, but you've got gifted people that's right there that are not able or they're not encouraged to produce their own uniqueness or to showcase their own uniqueness, I have a problem with that. And so that's why I wanted to bring that to the forefront. That was just one of those things that really kind of at me because I was like, ooh, how does that happen? So you guys, we've got about 10 minutes left on the show. If any of you would like to ask a question or have a comment, just push one on your dial, and you know I welcome you in on the call, on the show, and we'll see what you have to say. I feel fulfilled by being able to make this journey with Arno and Muriel and the other 18 people that were just simply, I traveled with the most amazing group of individuals ever, just loving, caring, considerate, compassionate. We had not one moment of any type of negative energy that went through our group, and I'm so thankful that the energy was what it was within the people. And I think we probably had a wide range of age groups that was that participated in the group as well. But the land is so spectacular. So I'm gonna take us back to town. And I know I probably jumped all over the place, but you know I didn't write down a legend on how I was going to go about this show. I'm just going from my pure gut, from my spirit, from my soul, as to what to share with you and to explain the experience of what life is like and that motherland is it's spiritual. It's just spiritual. I don't have another word that could describe it any better than to tell you it is a spiritual experience. So in Cape Town, we took the okay, we've got two callers. Let me pull up the callers first. Okay, area code 404-918. Give me your name and your comments, please.
Hi, it's Linda Samuel. I just wanted to thank you so much for sharing your experience. You're making me so homesick for Africa. I've only traveled the one time to Ghana, but you're making me just so homesick and wanting to go back. And I can just imagine how surprising, though, it was when you went to purchase souvenirs to find that they were made in China. I mean, that was one of the highlights. Well, there were many, many highlights of my trip, but that was one of the special things about being there, being able to bring back, little parts of the people, through their creativity. And I'm just wondering if the reason may have been had something to do with the powers that be trying to squeeze out, the quote-unquote little people. It made me think about when the Olympics came to Atlanta and how, there was such an effort to squeeze out the vendors, that I know when I go to different cities, like I said, one of the things that I look forward to, because it makes the connection with the people. So I'm just wondering if that maybe had something to do with it. But at any rate, thank you very much for sharing your trip with us.
Well, thanks, Linda. And see, that was my experience too, having traveled to Ghana as well, and having that experience first and then not having that, but to have these mass-produced pieces, it just caught me off guard, and I wasn't ready for that. And so I think, for people that have never been to any parts of the continent and, not exposed to having that, the pleasure of like you say, bringing a little bit of the people's energy home with you, it was just a little, it was disturbing to me, so.
Yeah.
So thank you for calling in. Yeah. Yes, indeed. All right. So stay on the call if you'd like. I've got another caller I'm going to bring on. Caller, area code 940210. Would you give us your name and your comment, please?
Hi, Sandy. Welcome back. This is Gloria.
Hey, Gloria.
My question is, I think that you had a wonderful time, and I appreciate your sharing. My question is, I'm very curious about the dress of the people. So many times we see on our television that many of the men dress pretty much like the men here do, and I was just wondering about how the people dress, or at least were dressed where you came in contact with them, if they wore dashikis or what's the traditional dress of South Africa?
Excellent question, Gloria. So,
thanks.
My commentary on that is, no, I did not see a lot of the traditional, what we would call African wear. My son actually wanted a dashiki, and it took me days to find a dashiki for him, if that helps you out in understanding. The ladies over in South Africa, the majority of them had long, straight hair in their head, much like you find here in the United States. So in other words, they wore weaves. And so you didn't see a lot of the natural beauty of the Africans, or, you know, those. We did experience that in Pilanesberg, and on that second part of our trip, but not in the more metropolitan areas like Johannesburg and Cape Town. Very modern, very very reflective of the Western world, or the Western dress, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah. A little disheartening, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you welcome? Yeah. So we also went to Robben's Island. You know, that's where Nelson Mandela stayed and spent so many. I'm making it sound like he was on vacation or something, which he wasn't. But that was really a very emotional event. Was to go and to be there on Robben's Island. But we were able to pass by his cell. And what was so unique about that experience and going to Robben's Island was that the man that actually gave us the tour of the facility, of the prison, was an actual inmate for a number of years. And so, you know, of course, he spoke from a place of personal involvement and was able to share so much light with us about the happenings behind closed doors, so to speak. And so I really enjoyed that visit to Robben Island. And, I mean, there's just so many other aspects of the trip that I've not even talked about. But, again, you know, it's like, it all hasn't settled in yet. The parts that I've talked to you about, I guess, are the parts that are most pronounced in my memory. But there were so many other little things that, you know, the politeness of the people, the professionalism of the people, and their eagerness to wanting to make sure that your every need was met. And that your stay was the best possible stay. And it wasn't until that last trip that we took to, well, not the last trip, but until the trip that we took to Langa, that I even understood how rare it was for people of color to visit in South Africa, at least for the places that we went. And so I'm going to share that experience like that. So I'm not saying that no people of color go, but it was a rare occurrence for the places that we went. And so for them, we were almost like royalty, you know, or at least worthy of being treated like that, because we had taken the time and made the taken the time and the energy to come over and acknowledge, you know, and appreciate who they are and their land. So it was really beautiful. It was a beautiful experience. Again, you know, it was just some contrast that I wanted to bring forth. But it wasn't just about the continent of Africa. It was about the United States as well, because we're a reflection of each other. And so there's this, how does it go, 6 degrees of separation. So we're really united in the experiences that we have going on, especially when you see the African women with this long, straight, silky hair that goes down past their butts and stuff, you know, and you just be like, wow, you know, losing the beauty, or at least delaying the beauty, the natural beauty of people. But I tell you, that is a once. It's not once. Maybe the experience of first touching the earth over there is a once in a lifetime the experience and the memories will live forever in me and within my spirit, because it was just so meaningful. And I don't have enough words to tell you the totality of what I felt when I was there. Such a rich and rewarding experience. And the different places, from the beach to the mountaintop, to looking down over Cape Town and in the far distance seeing Robben Island, and going out to the safari and seeing the animals, just roaming free. I mean, it's it was an incredible journey, you guys. It was off the charts. Off the charts. I'm thankful, and I would make the sacrifice, if that's what you want to call it. I would do it all over again without any hesitation. And as a matter of fact, I do want to go to the other parts where I haven't been, to East Africa and to North Africa, because that's a continent that I call home, and that's how it welcomes me. I feel like home when I'm there. So we're going to continue this discussion at another time, because we're out of time for this week. And I so thank you and appreciate you for allowing me to share my journey with you. And again, that wasn't the end all. It was some portions of it, and I summarized it as best I could from my perspective, from my eyesight, which not to say that, that's the only way that it could be viewed. And that's why I wanted more of the team to come on and to share their experiences. But like I said, I understand they may be where I've been, at a loss for words to put this in a verbal context as to what that experience was all about. But phenomenal, beautiful, breathtaking, earth-shattering, soul-stirring, checking, whatever and all that those words are, to be able to talk about that. This is Sandy Rogers, your host, and you've been in with Life, Love, and Wellness tonight. We're talking about our sovereign connection with Africa. It doesn't stop, because our connection never ends. And so I hope to always bring you bits and pieces from the trip. But until next week, I bid you a farewell and pray that all your dreams come true, and that your creativity is now peaked, and that you are appreciative and you start to display those gifts that you have been uniquely blessed with. I love you so much, so much. I'll see you next week. We're going to still be talking about Africa next week. You heard Linda Samuel. She was on with us earlier. She's the guest next week, and she's going to bring it to you. All right. We'll see you. Signing off. Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. See you next week. Life, Love.